Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Two Out the First. It is February the 22nd, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballinger. Good to have you here with us. Been a little while since we've done a video and a voice version of the show, so it's great to be back in front of you. We are presented by our friends at French Lick Resort in French Lick, Indiana. We have a couple of topics, as the name of the show implies. A lot of things kind of fly under one part of the umbrella today, and that's live-related, and we'll touch on a variety of things related to live and court case stuff and sponsorship stuff and team stuff and we'll kind of try and do that in one little pod of the show, and then we're going to talk a little bit about, in the second half of the show, the Florida swing, what's happening this week with Honda, how it'll be a little bit of a strange week with Honda going away as a sponsor, and we'll get through all of that and what that might mean for the longer-term vision for the PGA Tour schedule. But first, let's start with LIV. There's a lot going on here because it's the first week of the LIV 2023 season. It is a 14-event schedule that starts at Mayacoba Resort in Playa del Carmen, Mexico, which formerly was a PGA Tour venue just as recently as, what, November? And now it's not. Now it's part of the LIV Golf League instead of the Invitational Series this year. And that venue, which is a Greg Norman design, probably got paid pretty handsomely to host LIV instead of the PGA Tour and defect off the PGA Tour commitment that it had. And apparently the owners were glad to oblige, and they're going to be hosting the first event this week. So we've got 14 events kicking off this week, and there's a bunch of new things, obviously, related to LIV. One, it's going to be on network TV. It'll be on the CW, and in a number of markets, that apparently the channel guides haven't updated to show that LIV is going to show or not, even though LIV has claimed that all of the CW affiliates are going to show it. I don't know that to exactly be true, and I'm not going to go through every channel guide and try to figure that out for myself. That may not necessarily be the case at all times. But the tournament starts on Friday. It's not available on TV. It's only available through the CW app in the United States. And that means you got to download that and authenticate, I assume, to be able to watch it. But you can't watch it on YouTube. YouTube's over. And as we've talked about on this show, I think that was a huge mistake to walk away from YouTube in favor of having a quote-unquote broadcast television agreement, a network TV agreement in the United States. Because what it costs you on YouTube, I think, is greater than what you get in saying you're on the CW. It's just my opinion. But Saturday and Sunday will be on the CW from 1 to 6 p.m. So the entire round will air, and at least there's that convenience for the CW of knowing it's only going to be as long as the shotgun start takes, which is about 5 hours. So they're going to have, I guess, a little pregame or something, and then they'll get to the end and a couple of minutes afterthought, and then we'll move on with life. So there's that, and that's also available in the CW app if you're so inclined. But again, no YouTube for any of it. And then what we also found out is that the schedule that LIV has that's outside of the United States, so what eight events are in the U.S. and Mexico and North America. And so those events are all going to air live on the CW when they're played. So typically like 1 to 6 p.m. I assume there'll be some window changes depending on the venue, whether the time zone changes. But the international events, so the ones in Spain and Bangkok and Saudi Arabia and those types of Adelaide and in Australia, those types of events, they'll be on tape delay. And that is the exact thing every golf fan, at least is online, complains about, is having to watch tape delayed coverage. And so in the name of having, again, a network television agreement that you can tout, LIV is kind of unintentionally, or maybe not intentionally, but at the cost of something else, hurting its fan base, whatever that looks like, because they're going to put it on tape delay. So people will probably know all of the things that happened, but they won't be able to watch any of it in this country because, again, you won't be able to stream it. You will be able to stream it live in, at least on YouTube, you'll be able to stream it in the app, but you won't be able to watch it live on TV. So, again, you got to get people to the CW app desperately. You got to get them to download it and start watching it and using it. Other than the 14 times a year that you've got LIV, or otherwise, I'm not sure that's necessarily going to be the best delivery mechanism because everyone has YouTube on their phone. Whether you like it or not, you pretty much have it, especially if you've got an Android. You like it or not, you've got it. So I'm just not convinced about that. But we've got that. So we've got the TV side of it. Then we've got our first sponsorship side of it. So the first sponsor, corporate sponsor that is not directly Saudi-backed, is Easy Post. Easy Post is one of those like shipping, kind of like a ship station from what I understand. I think they sponsored the Hawaii Bowl this year in college football. And they are a sponsor of Patrick Reed. So naturally someone affiliated with Reed already would probably be inclined to be affiliated with Liv. Hence your connection. It all kind of makes sense. Now, who is Easy Post? Well, they're clearly some kind of successful business. I don't know a whole lot about Easy Post, I'm going to be honest with you. But just kind of doing a cursory search of Easy Post's background and the founder's background and all that stuff. The founder is very active politically. Gives to a lot of Republican Party, state Republican parties, Republican candidates. Gave to J.D. Vance, who ran for the Senate in Ohio successfully. And he is very active politically. Does that tell you one way or another why Easy Post decided to get involved with Liv? No, but I think it's some relevant context to kind of put something to what is Easy Post or what are the motivations behind Easy Post getting involved. We don't have terms of that, so I mean, we don't know how much money that's worth. It could be worth a dollar, it could be worth $10 million, it could be anywhere in between. We don't know that. You can only assume that it's worth some tangible amount of money, but seeing there as a first mover, that's not a Saudi-backed company or Saudi-owned company, they probably got a pretty substantial discount. But again, enough to put their logo on different hole markers and things like that, and I'm sure that will be touted pretty heavily. It already has been in a news release. But in the grand scheme of things, the sponsor of an existing player doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And then from Alan Shipnuck, who is on the ground at Mayakoba, and I think he kind of has a macabre interest in covering Liv in some ways, especially after what happened in the first event to him with Greg Norman looking all disappointed and memified in the background. But he's down in Mexico covering the event and was taking some pictures of players wearing uniforms. So a bunch of teams have uniforms. They have some version of uniforms. Not all the players are going to use them because some of them still have clothing deals that they have to abide by, but many of them are going to wear a uniform. The Majestics or Majestics, I get Majestics, I assume that's what we're calling them. That team is the British team with three captains, and then Sam Horsfield is the non-captain, which I think is kind of funny. But anyhow, you've got the Majestics there in their uniforms, and Shipnuck took a picture of it and called it cute, which, no, I could take or leave the uniform thing, but not everyone wearing them because some have clothing deals still is kind of strange. Like, you should either be all in on it or don't do it at all to kind of have one guy stick out like a sore thumb because he's still got a clothing deal to honor. It just kind of seems bizarre to me. Just pay that out. I mean, this is a multi-billion dollar investment from the Saudis, and they're not willing to pay out $400,000 or $500,000 more dollars to buy out some guy's clothing deal. That's just silly. That doesn't make any sense. But anyhow, there is that. And then on the other clothing side of the clothing deal, you've got Dustin Johnson and Sergio Garcia losing their deals with Adidas Golf. And so Adidas has been with Dustin Johnson, I think, his entire professional golf career, or at least that I've known and can remember, at least 15 years. And they, I guess, mutually agreed it's time to walk away, which apparently, according to Golf Week, which reported on this first, said that Dustin wants to focus on his brand with Four Aces. I don't know what that means apparel-wise or what the vendor is going to look like or anything like that, but that's the insinuation here, that Dustin is more worried about his team brand, personal brand, than working with the Three Stripes folks. I don't know if the same is true for Sergio or how that all came down. Maybe they said sayonara anyway. But that kind of leads into some other things that Shipnuck has talked about on the ground, about so many players not having any kind of corporate logos on their bags anymore. Just those deals were either dropped, or they were dropped, or they were found in breach, or it could have been a variety of things. But those logos for many players are now gone, and now it's just team names, team uniforms, their name on the bag, Liv logo on the bag probably. And I think that gives you an idea of some of the stuff that we talked about in the fall. Would these players lose their corporate sponsorships? Would they lose equipment sponsorships? Would they lose just kind of anything that was making them side money outside of being paid for their wages for playing golf? And it seems like the answer to that is largely yes, because the money they've been paid by Liv to sign and then compete in each of these events is probably, frankly, way more than that. But it seems to have been enough to driven away most of those types of sponsors in terms of logos. So really the only logos you're going to see are Liv and team logo stuff, which if it takes off for all of them and the brands take off, which that's a big, big, big if, but if that happens, then that's probably the right gamble to make. But for the corporate sponsors, they don't want to necessarily have their name associated with this or team or the Saudi-backed concept. So they're out by and large. So you're going to see a lot of easy posts and a lot of team logos and not a whole lot of other corporate stuff in between. And then you have the court issues that have really accelerated in the last 7 days since we've recorded a show. So now the PGA Tour is able to depose the public investment fund. So they're allowed to have discovery on the public investment fund. And Yasser Al-Rumayyan, who is the governor of the PIF, so he must now submit to discovery as part of the ongoing lawsuit between them in the California U.S. District Court. And then, I think it was today, one of the judges in the California U.S. District Court, the Northern District, Susan Van Kulin, ruled that the Public Investment Fund and Al-Rumayyan must submit to discovery, but also they are being added as defendants in the PGA Tour's counterclaim suit against Liv. So the players that defected to Liv, they originally filed the suit against the PGA Tour, and then a bunch of the players dropped off once at different points, but Liv came on, and now there are just a couple players left, and now it's Liv and some of the, you know, a couple players against the PGA Tour, where the PGA Tour countersued. They countersued Liv specifically, said, look, you know, we're going to countersue for interference and damages and other stuff. Oh, and by the way, now that we know more stuff about the ownership structure of Liv through the public investment fund, we want to tack on the public investment fund and Yasser Al-Rumayyan as co-defendants in this suit. And Judge Van Kulin said, yep, that's fine. We're going to do that. And it's a big, long ruling explaining why the PGA Tour would be allowed to reach out to the Public Investment Fund in discovery and serve subpoenas related to documents that they're asking for. And another kind of lengthy ruling explaining why the Public Investment Fund is now a co-defendant with Liv in the counterclaim. So bunch of losses in a row on the legal side for Liv. And of course the question is out there, is this worth it? Is it worth the squeeze? Because the discovery phase of this is not fun. Discovery is fun for people who want to learn stuff that other people don't want them to know, but will it be worth it for the public investment fund to have a lot of information about them and their operation and their relationship to Liv and the funding and all kinds of different stuff? It's going to come out. Some of it's going to get redacted, but a lot of it's going to come out. And is that worth it to be made public to continue a fight against the PGA Tour in court and keep operating? I mean, obviously they're going to keep operating, but at a certain point, as this drags on, is so much information going to snowball and get out that it's not worth it anymore? I don't know. I don't think the information ever kind of outvalues the operation of Liv, but it's going to rack up, and I don't think that that's a good thing. I don't think that's something Liv's looking forward to, even if they can find potentially embarrassing information about the PGA Tour in discovery, which I'm sure they probably can, but it feels like all of the onus is on Liv at this point to do anything positive on their side of things. And the kind of assumption at this point is a lot of negative things are going to come out about the public investment fund and the Saudi involvement in the creation of Liv and the signing of players and how it operates and Greg Norman's legitimate power or illegitimate power, or whatever that looks like in running Liv day to day. All that stuff's going to come out, and that's a lot. That's a big thing. So a lot happening on that front. Not all of it seems to be positive. And then we didn't even talk yet about the players that they did or didn't sign for this 2023 season. So all of the teams are out, all 12 teams are out. Some team names changed, some players left, some players got in. There's 6 new players for this year compared to any of the players who played any single event in the Invitational Series last year. Those players are Mito Pereira, which we knew about, Sebastian Munoz, we knew about previously, and then 4 additions that were rumored over the weekend at Riviera, and those turned out to be true. Dean Burmester, who's number 62 in the world, South African. Danny Lee, longtime player on the PGA Tour. Brendan Steele, who's a multi-time winner on the PGA Tour. And the group that they have here, it's just not, I'm not slamming these guys. I mean, they're accomplished professional golfers, but the names don't really move the needle. Maybe the one name I didn't talk about that might is Thomas Peters, and he's in the top 35 in the world. Had a very good Ryder Cup last outing, and I think he's probably made a little bit of a gamble here, thinking that if the arbitration hearing between LIV and the DP World Tour works out in the favor of LIV players, and they're allowed to play the DP World Tour, then Tommy Peters can play both. He can just play the DP World Tour and LIV, and I guess he can throw in the Asian Tour stuff and do all of that at once with no risk to him whatsoever. But if it doesn't work out that way, then obviously he's been paid off to do so. But again, having a bunch of players in the top 100 doesn't inherently make this a more interesting product. And I think in a lot of ways it would be more interesting to me, if I were being totally neutral about it, to have new names, not guys that have won previously or haven't been particularly relevant in a while, or maybe been relevant for a little while, but not that long of a time. I think you'd almost rather see new names, new people involved. And unfortunately, a lot of those folks have been pushed out, forced to the international series in hopes that they could come back to LIV, whatever that might look like in 2024. I don't know. I just feel like what they have added and what they are offering is not dramatically different than what they put together in 2022. And that's not to say that's not nothing. That's substantial what they have accomplished with billions upon billions of dollars. Basically, no compunction whatsoever against offering a ton of money to people who maybe wouldn't even be worth it in the open market if there were such a thing. But I just don't feel like the upgrade is there in 2023. So the business model is going to have to upgrade. The operation of LIV is going to have to upgrade for the Saudis to really see any kind of return on that investment and maybe feel like moving forward is the best thing for them. So lots of question marks. Lots more than probably the folks at LIV would like to have hanging over their heads. All right, second story for today is related to the PGA Tour. We have the Honda Classic this week. We have the first of two Honda events this week. So the Honda LPGA Thailand is the LPGA event, the first of their winter, early spring Asian swing that they do. And then you've got the Honda Classic this week, a PGA National Champion course. And this is going to be kind of a goodbye event in a way, because Honda is walking out the door as the longest running continuous sponsor actively on the PGA Tour after this week. They've decided, hey, we've had enough. They've had years, really 5 years, of being kind of at the bottom of the scrap heap as it relates to this part of the calendar, because Genesis got special status. So with Tiger taking that tournament over, became a bigger deal, a must play. Phoenix is obviously a must play. Then you've got Arnold Palmer Invitational, which is next week. That was its own special kind of elevation designation before there were designated tournaments. And so that got special status. You know, the players moving back to March. And that's the sandwich in which the Honda Classic sits. I mean, at least if you're Tampa and Innsbruck at the Valspar, you've got some distance from that. And guys who want to play after the players maybe didn't do well, or just like Innsbruck, they're going to play. But 10 years ago, the Honda Classic was it. I mean, Tiger played, Rory played. Everybody who was anybody played, because this was relatively close to their hometown and it was a pretty good purse for the time. And Jack Nicklaus was involved. And now all of a sudden, all these other tournaments have grown in terms of stature, what they offer, just not only in terms of money, but also multi-year exemptions, FedEx Cup points. And they have just kind of outmoded and crowded and suffocated, frankly, the Honda Classic. So this week you have 9 of the top 50 in the field. And that's not a bad field by any stretch of the imagination. But compared to having 40 of the top 50 last week and 37 or 38 of the top 50 the prior week, it's not much. So it's a very difficult week for this event, which is going to have to figure out a way either to bring in a new sponsor or it's going to go away. And if they bring in a new sponsor, I think the interesting suggestion here is moving this event to somewhere else on the calendar. Do you move this tournament to the fall, for example, and bring in a tournament like the Houston Open or like the CJ Cup that wants to come in, put up the money, have a stellar field, and go from there? But at the same time, you need tournaments like this one. And you just can't have a world where you have 37 elevated events, designated events, as part of the schedule from January through August. You can't do it. It's just not possible right now. The economics of it does not work, which means you're going to have tournaments like this one, or the Mexico Open, or the Wyndham Championship, Rocket Mortgage, 3M Open, John Deere Classic, go down the line of tournaments that are good but are not designated. You need those. They need to exist because top players are not going to play 37 times in a row, no matter what the prize money is. They want breaks. They need breaks, which means you've got a tour with that many events. You need to have good purses for not so deep fields. And this is a space that's got to be filled. And so I think if you're the PGA Tour, you've done a lot of hard work in the last 6 to 12 months to try to figure out what the upper echelon, the designated events part of the schedule looks like. Getting money thrown at that, taking care of it, building upon it. And that's been good. But now you've got to turn your attention to those events that are going to be the future in the fall and that are still going to exist as part of the schedule that aren't designated and maybe don't want to be designated. Maybe they don't want to put up the money or don't want to deal with that part of the schedule. And what does that look like? What are the reasons to stay? What are the reasons to be part of the schedule? And for some events, it's totally fine because of the community support they have. They raise a lot of money for charity. They're totally fine with having less than 10 top 50 players in the field. Okay, then those events are fine. And then you've got some tournaments that are just kind of naturally in this weird part of the schedule between majors. And you've got ones like Rocket Mortgage and 3M Open. And they're ones that struggle to fill out fields and have depth to them. So what do you do if you're the PGA Tour? Do you create a program for those pit players and those three events they have to play that aren't designated tournaments, and you make them rotate them around? You say, okay, you can't just play Amex and Farmers Insurance Open and Pebble Beach and call it a year and then not have to play any of those tournaments. Maybe they have to create a scenario like that where they say all the tournaments that aren't designated or haven't been designated as part of a rotation in the last 3-4 years, just throwing this out there as an idea, then those players have to go play them in every other year or something like that. I don't know what that is, but you've got to bring up those other events. Then again, at the same time, you've got a lot of constituents outside of those top players. There are more than 150 people playing on the PGA Tour trying to earn a card, trying to earn status, trying to make a living, trying to make money. And so you've got to have room for them too. And it can't just be on the Korn Ferry Tour. So that's the big conundrum the PGA Tour faces. And I'm not sure what the answer is to that, to be absolutely truthful. But I think moving forward, the PGA Tour is going to have to acknowledge a couple of different things. And they know this already. There's a huge gap between top players, middling players, and lesser known players. There's a big gap between the designated events now that we have and everything else. And that needs to be reflected, I think, in part in the FedEx Cup points. It's going to be reflected in purses, and you've got to figure out how to kind of make all of that marry pretty well. It's a lot of work. It's a lot to do. It's a different thing that Liv has to do business-wise, but the business is really important here for the future of the PGA Tour, and they have a lot of challenges they're going to try to answer in the next couple of months, and they're going to do it with player input. They're going to do it with sponsor input. They're going to do it with board input. And that's going to probably dramatically reshape how the PGA Tour looks. And that could mean the end of the Florida swing, could mean a change to the West Coast swing. It could mean a different variety of events on the schedule. It could mean rotating events. I mean, all kinds of different ideas are out there right now. And I think many of them are good. Trying to make them all work together is going to be tricky. That's going to do it for us today on 2 Out the First. Thank you so much for watching or listening to the show. I've been Ryan Ballingy. If you check us out on a podcast platform, please give us 5 stars or leave a comment about the show. Even if you don't particularly like it, helps us reach more people, and we'd love to interact with you. And if you're watching on YouTube, please consider liking our channel and smashing that like button and subscribe button for us. We'll be back with another show tomorrow. We'll get everything started at the Honda Classic before we get everything underway overseas with the Indian Open on the DP World Tour, Honda LPGA Thailand on the LPGA Tour. Then we've got everything here with Mayakoba that starts Friday on LIV, but starting on Thursday, the Honda Classic. So big slate this week, lots to work with, plenty to digest on the golf calendar, and we'll have it all with you in the next couple days. I'm Ryan Ballingy. Thank you for watching or listening. We will talk to you next time on 2 of the First.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Eastern and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.